Here's a great way that you can help support Issues Etc., Real Reformation Radio. It's our monthly or annual giving program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Now, we're looking for 13 new members to join the Reformation Club by All Saints Sunday. Our goal is to have 200 Reformation Club members by November the 6th. Membership benefits include items like t-shirts, books, transcripts, and advertising for your congregation. Find out how to become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Well, some of us saw that on television. Some of us present here at the LPR studio actually got to see it with their own eyes. Big fancy schmancy found the right girlfriend Craig Feitinger got to watch Freeze hit the home run that tied up the series and gave the Cardinals a chance, yes, a chance perhaps tonight to actually win the series. There he is drinking champagne with his fancy friends. Eating fancy hot dogs, and he came in and described a hot dog to me that sounded like it had to have cost $25. Living the high life while the rest of us, Jeff and I, had to just watch it on television. Enjoy it as we could in our meager surroundings. Craig, no, it's not good enough for him. He not only went to Game 1 of this World Series, he actually attended as well last night, Game 6 of this series. And who knows, he might just at the last minute here say he's got to leave early and say, oh, by the way, Tori got me tickets to Game 7 too. See you guys later. Which is, I wouldn't put it past him, Jeff. He's one of those kind of guys that just makes it happen. What do they call them? A rainmaker. That's what Craig is. He's a rainmaker. When he shows up, things happen. Usually to him, but I'm waiting for some of the rain to fall on me, especially with regard to all those fancy tickets he gets. But I'm a little bitter. You can hear it in my voice. But nonetheless, a happy day here at LPR for a number of reasons. We have also come to the conclusion of Issues Etc. Reformation Week. And while we have regular fare for the first hour of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, October the 28th, that is listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line, Issues Etc. blog of the week, the second hour with Dr. Larry Rast will be the conclusion of Issues Etc. Reformation Week. We're going to have a conversation with him on confessional Lutheranism and American evangelicalism. I urge you strongly to stay tuned for hour two or to listen to it at your earliest possible convenience because it promises to be a great conclusion to Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Now I'm out of breath. Oh, our call-in number live on this Friday, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at issuesetc.
You know, I was thinking, Todd, that we probably have a lot of, most of our listeners are men, usually men like sports, and we could take phone calls and talk about the World Series if you'd like inane banner.
We can do inane banter.
Instead of listener email and comment line. So feel free to call if you want to talk about the seventh game of the World Series. I know we got people listening in Texas, got obviously lots of Cardinals fans. So if you want to deviate from listener email and comment line, give us a call. 877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. And maybe you'd like to pontificate on what's going to happen in Game 7 tonight. I know your dad's listening down in Texas.
Yeah, and I don't know who he's actually rooting for, to tell you the truth. I mean, I think he was the one who actually first predicted, at least among our circle of friends, he was the one who first predicted that it would be a Rangers-Cardinals series. Remember when he was up here a couple weeks ago, and this was when the Cardinals were counted out. They were even a long shot for an impossible shot for the wild card. And he said, "I'd love to see him get in there, and I'd like to see a Rangers Cardinals series." And well, happy birthday, Dad! Even a couple months early, he gets to watch that. Now, but I don't know who he's rooting for because I think in his farm boy days, he was a Cardinals fan. Now, he's lived most of his life down in Texas. You could say deep in the heart of Texas. And so is also a Rangers fan. I know my mom chimed in something on Facebook today saying, you know, they're still tonight. Tonight we'll decide it. So, yeah, we'd be happy to hear from our listeners.
I'm thinking the striking similarities between these two teams. The Cardinals lost their ace pitcher, Adam Wainwright, who to Tommy John surgery. Okay, so he's out for the year. And the Rangers, who are repeats in the World Series this year, lost to the San Francisco Giants last year, lost their ace, Cliff Lee, to the Phillies, to free agency. So how often does that happen where in both teams in the World Series, in the offseason, due to injury or free agency or trade or something like that, lose their ace pitchers and still wind up in the World Series?
Go to the World Series. What's your prediction for tonight, Jeffy?
Oh, I don't. It's baseball. I never make predictions unless there's like just one pitcher is so much overwhelming. Like if Cliff Lee were pitching for the Rangers against Kyle Loesch, I'd pick the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, Carpenter's very good. He's coming off 3 days rest, which he doesn't typically pitch well. So I wouldn't even venture to make a guess of what's going to happen tonight.
Well, give us, just so people understand, your basic philosophy. When you say it's baseball, you mean by that this sport is different than other medium of competition like football or basketball. It's different. What do you mean by
well,
that?
Well, it's you'll see a lot more upsets in one baseball game than you will see in an NFL game. That's what I'm saying. There's, I mean, just look at last night's game. All the errors, all of the, you know, just all the circumstances surrounding that game last night. It was just crazy. So
it was drama. It was like, and especially have Freeze cap it off that way. Even though I don't think that was as crucial as same thing that happened a couple innings earlier. Hometown boy, it was like a made for television World Series game. It had all the drama, the highs, the lows, the vindication at the end, all those kind of things.
By the way, David Freeze graduated from Lafayette High School, which is my wife, Elizabeth Marie Schwartz's alma mater, Lafayette High School. And you know, at the time, this, you won't hear this, Tim McCarver and Joe Buck won't talk about this, but she dumped,
she did,
David Freeze for,
she did,
me. Yes.
No, I didn't,
yeah,
know that. Well, that's hardly surprising. Come on. I mean, what red-blooded American girl wouldn't? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Larry Rast will be our guest, and we'll be talking about American evangelicalism and confessional Lutheranism, comparing and contrasting as our conclusion of Issues Etc. Reformation Week.
You know, I watched the conclusion of that game, and all I could, I just kept looking at the field because I expected to see Lord Feichtinger, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. Kevin James, being chased by St. Louis Finest around the fields.
Me too.
And I had our backup board operator on speed dial ready to go to call him to come in because Craig was going to be in jail. Or I was going to get the call, Jeff, can you bail me out? I'm in St. Louis City prison.
They put me in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was a little, I mean, I thought that if I watched carefully enough, apparently in one of these games, and it wasn't even a world, it was, I think it was regular season play, Craig actually appeared on television. Someone saw him in the stands. He's been to so many games this year.
Pastor Kevin Golden, Tori got us the green seats. And
seats behind the plate.
Right, yeah. And he came in one day and he asked, was that you I saw on TV? And why, of course it was. But I've just been fortunate, you know. I mean, such a great girl, and
she is a great girl.
Absolutely, absolutely. And
yeah.
And the, you know, to be able to go to game one, a win, go to game six, a win.
Are you playing the invisible violin behind him, Jeff? Is that what you're doing? Okay.
But, I mean, just, I haven't been able to wipe the smile off my face. I agree with you. I told her the same thing. I said, it's like a movie. It really was. It's still unbelievable. Cannot believe the game ended up like that. And I thought several times to run out on the field, but it was really a long way to drop off of the wall, and I didn't want to get hurt. So
that's true.
And you were
enjoying this $27 hot dog that you told me about for 20 minutes earlier this morning.
Yeah, but you don't have to pay for tickets. You can afford a $27 hot dog.
What are you talking about? Now, what did we hear earlier today about tickets for tonight's game?
We heard that they're like eBay or something. Somebody's offering like $25,000 for a ticket.
That's just ridiculous.
It is.
We need to occupy Wall Street. That's ridiculous. My goodness. All right. What are we doing? Oh, let's do a little email.
Okay. All right. I was hoping people wanted to talk sports talk on issues, et cetera, but obviously it's not going to happen. But you can. 877-623-MY-IE. This comes from Andy in Georgia. He says, normally I love issues, etc. I love many of your features. Currently, the Great Schism series, just one of many. I'm a podcast subscriber and listen daily to at least one segment. I also love Luther and the Lutheran tradition. However, I'm a Calvinist and have to say I'm very disappointed in the misrepresentation I heard on the Calvinist-Lutheran segment earlier this week with Dr. Ken Sherb. It is clear that neither you nor your guest have studied the Reformed faith in great depth. He brings up five errors. I'm going to read two of them. The error. Calvinists have always taught that the death of Christ is infinite in merit. It would save anyone who would believe. We believe that the atonement has multiple layers. Limited atonement is simply stating that Christ died specifically and substitutionarily for believers. We don't believe that the atonement has been applied to unbelievers, hence their condemnation. Deal with that one first.
Well, I mean, that's still a limited atonement. And I, as I said in my conversation with Dr. Sherb, and I think this is an accurate observation, if Calvinism had not asserted a limited atonement, you wouldn't have the last two of Tulip's points. You wouldn't need them. You would not need to have irresistible grace, and you would not need to have perseverance of the saints, or once saved, always saved, if Calvinists did not limit the atonement to the elect. No matter how you slice the cake, if Jesus' blood is not shed for all, then it's only shed for some, and that's a limited atonement. And if Jesus' blood does not count as the propitiation, that's that substitutionary atonement, a propitiation for the sins of the world, then it only counts for some. And your only problem after that, Calvinist, is to figure out whether you are part of the some or part of the other some. We'll be right back. There's no substitute for red. Red, ain't it red? Green ain't me compared to red. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado. Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Faithful confession trumps company loyalty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church. Well, did you get my message? Ooh, did you get my message?
The
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Going through listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll have Issues Etc. blog of the week before the end of this hour. And then in the second hour, Dr. Larry Rast will be our guest. We'll conclude Issues Etc. Reformation Week, talking about American evangelicalism and confessional Lutheranism. Now, there was another, we can't get to all of the objections on that Kinsherb-Calvinism conversation, but there was another one that we wanted to deal with. What was it?
Just a disclaimer here. The best chance to get read during listener email is about two paragraphs. Have a better chance of giving you
brevity.
Brevity is good, yes. Error, this is another error that Andy in Georgia, and thanks for the email and thanks for listening, Andy, about your interview earlier this week but on confessional Lutheranism and Calvinism. He says, the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints teaches that those whom Christ has effectually called will persevere in the faith and never fall away totally or completely. We believe that our faith is wrapped up in God's preserving us, not in our ability to keep ourselves. We do believe that if someone denies Christ and stays in this state, that the person is lost and was never in possession of saving faith.
I think that's exactly what Dr. Sherb said Calvinism believes. Now, see, here's the problem. You got that effectual or ineffectual call. Would you need that? Would you need to teach that Christ, when the gospel is preached, depending on who hears it, it's either effectual or ineffectual? In essence, it's not the word of God that has the power of God unto salvation to save. It's some other thing, namely election, that determines whether or not the word of God is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1. You wouldn't need to divide the call of God, the gospel, into the gospel that saves and the gospel that doesn't, if you didn't have a limited atonement. And you wouldn't need to even worry about perseverance of the saints, about whether or not someone can ever fall away from the faith. You wouldn't even need to worry about it if you didn't have that division between those who are elect and those who are reprobate from before the foundation of the world. Again, it comes back to that question. Are you among the some for whom Jesus died? Now, perseverance of the saints tries to answer that question by saying, and it depends on which Calvinist you talk to, quite honestly, some will just come out and say, well, you look at your life. Are you better than you used to be? There you go. That's some evidence that you're among the elect, that you really have genuine faith. But again, that's kind of pointing you to yourself for any certainty of your election, isn't it? Well, it's not kind of pointing to yourself. It's all pointing to yourself. Someone says, well, I know that I'm elect because I know I'm among the some for whom Jesus died and not among the some for whom he didn't die because I believe. But how do you know you're not among those who think they believe, but they're really reprobate? And you think you believe that call, but that call wasn't for you. It wasn't effectual for you. It was the same words of the gospel, and you think you believe it, but you're reprobate. You're fooling yourself. You're what Calvin would have called this false believer, someone who thinks they believe but don't. How do you know? Now, you can say God preserves us in the faith, but the question is, and no one's arguing with that. I completely agree with that. It is God alone who preserves Christians in the faith. We cannot preserve ourselves. But you haven't answered the question. How do you know that you are among the some for whom Jesus died and not among the some for whom he didn't die? How do you know? You can't look to the cross. You can't say, well, because Jesus died for me, because you don't know if he was dying for you. You know he was dying for the elect, but you don't know for sure whether or not you're elect. And if you look anyplace else to the fact that you think you still believe or your life has been changed or look at the fruit of the Spirit in my life, you are looking away from Jesus. And that is no certain answer to that very crucial question. Let's go to Mike in Kansas City. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Wilkin. I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, Etc., and maybe attending more baseball games. I'm a great baseball fan. Actually, our pastor attended the game last night, and I got an email from him this morning, and he said he can barely talk, and he's concerned that he may not be able to perform very well on Sunday. And myself, I've got a subscription to MLB TV on the Internet. It doesn't cost very much. It's about $100 a year. So throughout the course of the year, I've been able to watch virtually every game I wanted to all season long. So And the only other thing I would add about baseball is, you know, it's a marvelous sport, because what I like about it is it's so much like life. I mean, like the game last night, all kinds of errors and problems, and then you had your highs where you would have home runs or great plays being made. I mean, how much like life is that? And then not only that, but think about your objective. Your objective in baseball is to get home safely. Isn't that a marvelous thing about life? Who doesn't want to be home safely?
Now, we got the smartest listeners in radio. Mike, thank you very much. And don't feel the need to rub our faces in the fact that you get to watch all the Major League Baseball games, and Craig gets to go sit in the box and eat $27 hot dogs. We've had enough of that. But thank you very much for listening in Kansas City, for your faithful listening there. Jake is listening in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He says, I'm enjoying the sports talk. Does Pastor Wilkin have any thoughts on Josh Hamilton's post-game 6 reflection that God told him he'd hit a home run last night? Did Josh Hamilton actually say that? Did he say that he had received prior word from God that there would be a home run? Now, according to ESPN.com, Hamilton, who had been playing this postseason with a painful muscle pull or tear in his groin, and that was making it difficult for him to run the bases, I think, or maybe in his abdomen, said divine intervention took over when he stepped onto the plate in the 10th. He told me, quote, you haven't hit one in a while, and this is the time that you're going to, said Hamilton, who had gone 65 at-bats in the postseason without a home run. You know what? I probably had the most relaxed, peaceful at-bat I've had in the whole series at that moment. It's pretty cool. You have to try it sometime, to try hearing from God. I don't know if God intended for Josh Hamilton to hit a home run last night. I don't know. But I will just say, on a very serious note, it's very easy, isn't it? In the heat of the game, in the passion that one has for winning, in the fact that there you are standing at home plate in Game 6 of the World Series, that's in a game that's turning out to be one for the history books. There you are with a real crack to go and win the World Series for the first time, and there you are. And it's real easy to think that your desire to hit a home run is God speaking to you. It's real easy to mistake the voice from within, your voice, your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations, for the voice from outside you, from God. And I think that's the mistake that Josh Hamilton's made. It's a mistake that a lot of Christians make. In the heat of the moment, during the worship service, the music is just right, the lights are flashing, the smoke machine is just producing that perfect amount of smoke pouring off the stage. The praise band is just in the groove. And it's so easy to mistake that passion, that desire inside you, the voice from within, for the voice from without, from God. God speaks in one place and one place only. Can God speak anywhere? Sure he can. He's God. But he's promised to speak to us authoritatively, certainly, where we need never doubt it, in one place. And that is in Holy Scripture. So Josh Hamilton makes a mistake that a lot of Christians make every Sunday morning. He just happened to make it during Game 6 of the World Series.
This comes from your interview at the beginning of Issues Etc. Reformation Week with Pastor Will Whedon on confessional Lutheranism and Roman Catholicism. This is Keith in North Platte, Nebraska. He says, Rome does not seem to administer the sacrament rightly. Given that Rome explicitly denied and condemned the gospel in Trent, it is safe to say that the word is not rightly preached. So lacking the sacraments rightly administered and the word rightly preached, that is, lacking the marks of the Christian church, why is Rome considered to be a Christian church? Rome seems to depend on God plus works rather than on God's grace alone. Does that constitute apostasy from the Christian religion as stated in the 1932 brief statement of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, writes Keith in North Platte, Nebraska?
Well, we want to make a distinction between Roman Catholic Christians, who most certainly are Christians, and the Roman Catholic Church. So what do we say? We say only what can be said most certainly on the basis of God's word and what we hear the Roman Catholic Church confessing. Do they confess the central teaching of the Christian faith according to God's word? The answer is no. But do many Catholics believe the central teaching of the Christian faith, the doctrine of justification, in spite of what their church teaches? Yes. Is this the church that has propagated and anathematized, that is, cursed to hell, the teaching of justification by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone? Yes, it is. I can't think of anything less churchly, less Christian to do. But in spite of that, they continue to read the Holy Scriptures. They continue to, in spite of their own profession and their own condemnation of the doctrine of justification, individual Catholics continue to, by hook or crook, believe what the Bible actually teaches rather than what their church teaches. Do they retain the marks of the church, the gospel in its purity? In some things they say, yes. In some things they say, no. So they are, I will not say apostate, I will say heterodox. And there's a difference between apostate and heterodox. I hope that answers the question. And I think the question was also directed to Pastor Whedon, and he's got a really good answer to that as well. Stay tuned. The sooner the better. You gotta wait a minute, wait a minute. Will your church be one of the issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Independent and in the black for 3 years and running. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
A judge in Britain ruled against family members who wanted to withhold food and water to cause a woman's death. The judge says the woman was still able to experience small pleasures. The judge made the right ruling, but for the wrong reason. It doesn't matter how many pleasures she enjoys or if she enjoys any at all. The judge should have stood up for the woman as a live human being, made in the image of God. Human life is sacred. The family's attorney says caring for the woman is too hard on the family. But it's not about them. It's about the patient, who in this case I call biologically tenacious. She's not dying to make life easier for the family. But even now, God has a purpose for her life and is using this to His glory. So let's remember this when our loved ones are facing end-of-life issues.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Talking baseball. Baseball in St. Louis. With that man, no one could match him. Mort pitching, Walker catching. St. Louis was another Cooperstown.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon, October the 28th. Going through Issues, Etc. email, comment line, a little bit later, Issues, Etc. blog of the week. Hey, did you see Stan the Man last night? He looks remarkably good. They were driving around in the little cart before the game, and I asked my wife, what must it be like to go into that stadium and see a statue of yourself outside? A stadium that is, in essence, kind of a dedication to that guy. In a lot of ways. I mean, I wish they'd named the stadium after him, but that's got to be remarkable. And then you're in, just to be carted around with that crowd, you know, to see your team yet again vying for the World Series. That's got to be unbelievable for that guy.
Well, two things on Stan the Man was, if I remember correctly, they showed the shot of Stan the Man, like, right in, like, late in the game, like when the Cardinals started to turn things around, they showed him waving.
Yeah.
You know, and most people that are close, I mean, I don't know how, he's very old, but they say he's going to be in the church triumphant here.
Pretty soon.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, when they show that shot, all of a sudden the Cardinals start turning things around, you know. I'm having a Josh Hamilton moment. Secondly, you know, Craig might have the opportunity to experience what it's like to, you know, have a statue of you. I understand we have a lucrative donor who wants to put a statue of Craig, Lord Feichner, outside the studios of LPR.
Hey.
But we're working out, it's, you know, there's ordinance issues with the city of Council, Collinsville and things like that. But, you know, if the donor wants to, you know, erect a statue to Lord Feichner, what can we do?
And what I want to know is, what pose would he strike in this statue form? What pose would be most, stands is you know, a perfect baseball pose. What pose would
Oh, he would
Craig
definitely be
strike.
Flexing. He would be flexing.
Would he have
his arms out to his side with his hands meeting as clenched fists kind of in the middle and then sticking his neck, his head out, kind of like the Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
And the pecs sticking out. And that would be the – well, that's also what the donors – that was the donor's wishes.
Oh, that's
and,
what
know,
they wanted.
Yes. So we have to adhere to what the donor wants. But the problem is there's not lots of room out here. It's going to take up a parking space out here of our luxurious – palatial parking lot.
We could put it on top of. I mean,
it's too big. It weighs too much. Like Lord Feichner himself.
So,
remember when I first described Lord Feichner? Two things: think Kevin James and think Russian weightlifter in the 70s.
And you've got Craig. Well, see, what I've noticed is this pear tree out here that we all park under. If you've ever noticed, there's a dangerous situation emerging there. The wires run through that pear tree, and that pear tree has been growing and growing and stretching those wires until they're just taut now. So sooner or later, they have to bring down the pear tree so that it doesn't impinge the wires that run overhead. And I think that would be a great place.
Now, the lucrative donor has requested that be a bronze statue. Will that have any? I don't understand. How does bronze work with electricity? Is there an issue there? Or is
it conducts electricity?
It conducts electricity,
but that would keep the birds
glowing,
off.
Well, and a glowing Craig at night, you might have seen an occasional glow, just like we do every day.
We bask in it. We bask in it every day. What we do. Oh, I wanted to. Someone had a question before the break about whether or not Rome is still the church, and Pastor Whedon responded also to this. And I just read two brief quotes that he brought forward from Johann Gerhardt, a latest book from Concordia Publishing House of Gerhardt's Commonplaces on the Church. Amazing book. And this is what Gerhardt has to say: "Still today, in the very middle of Rome, he, the Holy Spirit, gathers a church to himself. A church that, though it has not yet been separated from the external fellowship of the Roman Church, nevertheless does not have an internal communion with the Catholic Church, and in this respect is invisible." That's from page 139. He has another quote. "First of all, we point out that the doctrines of the modern Roman Church are not of one and the same kind. Some agree with Holy Scripture, with regard to which there is a consensus and fellowship with the ancient Roman Church founded by the apostles. Through these doctrines, and with the addition of the sacrament of baptism, which she still retains in its integrity, she bears spiritual children for God, as the Jewish church once did. On the other hand, some of her doctrines are opposed and contrary to Holy Scripture. They do not originate from the apostles, nor with the ancient Roman church founded by the apostles. Rather, they were newly introduced, that is, in later centuries. With regard to those doctrines, the church is properly called papist, or Roman, namely, because it follows the authority of the Roman pontiff in the profession and defense of those doctrines." I think those are two great quotes answering the question. And Pastor Whedon, thank you very much for bringing those forward from Johann Gerhardt, from that great book on the church. Next up from the Issues Etc. comment line, some thoughts on the joint declaration on the doctrine of justification, this 1998 document that allegedly found common ground and consensus between the Roman Catholic Church and the Lutheran World Federation on the doctrine of justification. This comment from Issues Etc.'s own Paul Harvey.
This is Harry of Arlington Heights with reflections on JDDJ, the joint declaration on the doctrine of justification. After the JDDJ conclave on October 31, 1999, between Rome and LFW, the Lutheran World Federation, purporting to speak for 70 million Lutherans worldwide, a very appropriate question by an astute reporter was put to Rome's representative, Cardinal Cassidy. Does this mean that Rome has rescinded Trent? Of course not, was the instant reflex. Less known is the Chicago question, asked 10 days before that awful Augsburg obeisance. 10 days earlier, on Thursday, October 21, 1999, at breakfast, I said to my wife, let's hop in the car down to ELCA headquarters. You could see the tower of the headquarters of Evangelical Lutheran Church in America from the Kennedy Expressway on the way to O'Hare, where sat the office of the ELCA president, who in turn had a leading presence on the board of LWF and was, in person, one of the few apostates to be at Augsburg 10 days later. ELCA headquarters head librarian also ran the bookstore. I asked her, what do you have on what is scheduled in Augsburg 10 days from now? The responding dumbfounded blank stare and shoulder shrug said more than the words that followed. So I glanced at my wife and said, let's go down to UC. UC, the University of Chicago, my wife's alma mater, has on campus the top ELCA seminary. Next to the entrance of the seminary library, archived in white letters on black marble, was a single word, preserving the memory of an event from exactly a quarter century before, Seminex. Inside, I sought out the head of the reference desk section and posed the same 10 days from now question. While he knew no more than his colleague at ELCA headquarters, he kindly offered to put JDDJ in his search engine and gave me the printed results. The Chicago question I referenced was the one I asked my wife as we drove back to Arlington Heights. If the head librarian at ELCA headquarters and the head of the reference desk section at the library of the top ELCA seminary know nothing about JDDJ 10 days from now, what do the people in the pews of ELCA churches know? The answer revealed that the real LWF constituency of the few apostates signing JDDJ was not the 70 millions they claimed, but more like 70, or perhaps only 7. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. By the way, if you want to leave anything for us, a comment, a question, an observation, a show suggestion, a criticism, at the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. Call anytime, day or night, 618-223-8384, the Issues Etc. comment line. Always nice to hear from our own Paul Harvey. Let's see. What's next, Jeffy?
Do an email for the break?
Yeah, let's see if we can.
I thought you were going to add to something Harry had to say.
There's nothing I can add to it.
I apologize. I wasn't ready.
You should know that once Harry has spoken, it is said.
Speaking of that, maybe you could be a substitute host for Issues, etc. when you go on vacation.
Anytime. Yeah.
This is William. He says, I've been told by several Roman Catholic converts that my pastor is not really a pastor. Our Eucharistic sacrament is neither Eucharistic or sacrament, and that my Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation is not really part of Christ Church, but something lesser that God allows to exist as a way of reaching souls like mine who just aren't ready for the whole truth. Is that truly what Roman Catholic Church teaches, or just hot air from some overzealous new converts, writes William?
No, it is, strictly speaking, what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. They teach, well, it's changed recently, but under Pope John Paul II, he was willing to extend to, and that would be the previous pope, he was willing to extend to non-Catholic, quote-unquote, churches, the category of ecclesial communities. That would be, how would you translate that? Churchly church-like, church-ish communities, not in fellowship with the Pontiff of Rome. That would be, that would make you a church if you were. But outside the papal fellowship, still Christian, but not church in the proper sense. Church, small c, you might say. That is what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. They pretty much have to teach that to hold to their view of what the church is and isn't. So they're not just blowing hot air. They're pretty accurate. We'll be right back. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Truth-centered mission outreach. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Coming up in Hour 2 on this Friday afternoon, October the 28th, we conclude Issues Etc. Reformation Week with Dr. Larry Rass talking about American Evangelicalism and Confessional Lutheranism. And as promised, we will also be announcing the winner of the Essential Lutheran Library among those many who shared our Issues Etc. Week video over the last month or so. So we'll announce that winner in the middle of that conversation with Dr. Larry Rass. Time for one final question from the Issues Etc. comment line.
My name is Robin. Our son has been conversing with a friend about the very topic that you will be discussing today, confessional Lutheranism and Roman Catholicism. And before he left the school this morning, I told him about the topic, and he quickly jotted down a question. So I would like to read that to you now on his behalf. My name is Joe. I'm 17 years old, and I've recently been struggling with a friend who has recently converted to Catholicism from an emergent-type church, the Vineyard. One of the biggest issues so far for me in our conversations has been justification. I have really struggled so far in trying to get her to see the errors in the Roman Catholic Church. She actually still claims to have an almost identical belief of justification as I do, though I know that is not the case. I'm having a really hard time pinpointing our differences, or even if I can find them, getting her to see that they are indeed differences. For example, when I point out to her that our works can do nothing for our salvation, she completely agrees. Yet when I then ask her why then she doesn't believe that we are saved by grace through faith alone, she says it is because that faith needs works to complete it. She says, what is faith without works? So I point out that that is saying we are saved by faith and works. Yet she then clearly states that she also believes works can gain us nothing for our salvation. Is there a way I can better understand the current Roman Catholic view of justification, or a way to better explain to her our differences and why I believe what I do as a confessional Lutheran? Thank you so much.
There are two resources I can think of. One is a little book called Justification and Rome, written by the late and great Robert Preuss. He spent a considerable amount of his time in his scholarship examining in detail the teachings of the Roman Church with regard to justification. So I think that that is very important to look at. The other book, and this is a bit more daunting, is an examination of the decrees and councils of the Council of Trent. And that's by Martin Chemnitz, translated, not surprisingly, by the brother of Robert Preuss, Jack Preuss, who was once president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Now, see, what that is going to do is give you a better understanding of what Rome teaches from a Lutheran perspective, and then Chemnitz deals with the Council of Trent, and it, in particular, what it denies about justification. Now, this may not be what your friend believes, but you need to urge your friend to look carefully at what her church teaches. What her church actually teaches, not what she wants it to teach or what she thinks it ought to teach, but what it actually does teach with regard to justification. She will find that the Council of Trent, in no uncertain terms, in canon and decree after canon and decree, curses, as I said before, curses to hell those who would teach justification by grace through faith for Christ's sake alone, apart from works. She's actually playing a little game that evangelicals play, which is, well, faith isn't, it is faith alone, but faith is never alone. So the works are always there. They're necessary, but they're not, they don't contribute to salvation. But of course, faith and works are always together. They play that little game in order to bring works into the equation. And it's simply a shell game. She needs to go and look in the cold, hard reality of the light of day at what the Roman Church actually teaches about justification. So that's my recommendation.